It's time now for Homeward with Jim Burns, helping families succeed. Here now is your host, Jim Burns.
Well, hi, everyone. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, and I am so honored that you would be here with us today. And I'm actually honored to have an incredible guest. Her name is Michelle Watson Canfield. We're going to talk about why girl dads matter. You know what? Even if you're not a girl dad, I think you're going to get something out of this. My experience, because I am a girl dad, is that I never dreamed how special it would be, how complicated it would be, how messy it would be, how fun it would be. And I'm still living that dream with three adult daughters who actually have their own husbands now. And we've got four grandkids. So that's kind of my story. Michelle is an incredible person. She was in our office the other day with her husband, Ken. And I know Ken and I love Ken as well. But Michelle is an author, a speaker. She's the founder of the ABBA Project. And we'll talk about that in a little bit. She has her own podcast show, and it's called The Dad Whisperer. I just think that is the coolest name, The Dad Whisperer. Elijah, we need a better name for the, I mean, Homeward with Jim Burns. I mean, we need to, who is a something whisperer? Maybe I'm the dad girl whisperer. I don't know. But anyway, Michelle is married to an amazing man, Ken Canfield. I mentioned Ken, and Ken is a nationally known leader, speaker, expert on fathering and on grandfathering, and just an all-around great guy as well. I called them when they left our office the dynamic duo. So you're part of the dynamic duo. Welcome to Homeward with Jim Burns, Michelle. It's great to have you on.
Oh, Jim, I'm so glad we got to meet in person, and what an honor to be here with you today.
Yeah, I now realize that I had seen, we were both speaking at the American Association of Christian Counselors, and I actually saw you, but you were popular and everybody was kind of running around with you, so I didn't come up and, you know, touch the hem of your garment or something.
Oh, my goodness.
But anyway, so you, interesting enough, I've just read two of your books and a magazine article that just came out. So I know all things Michelle right now. Anyway, I loved all of this stuff and we'll talk through it. But, you know, you speak in research on girl dads. And so I'm guessing that there must be a story behind that story. What's the background for you to get excited about, you know, doing, I mean, really, you're the expert on girl dads. Talk about that.
You know, I think so often God takes those of us who would disqualify ourselves and say, no, you're the one I'm choosing, which is really all through scripture. Don't we see that? Like, why that person? And that's a bit of my story. So I'm the oldest of four girls, said yes to Jesus when I was six. You know, I'm a pastor's daughter, went to Bible college, ministry, music and youth ministry. So then my stuff, I'm going to call it that, starts to come up, you know, in my 30s. And I start dating through my 20s, early 30s. Not a great guy. We were in a Christian band together and, you know, all the stuff starts coming up to be healed. That's how my mentor would say it. And I was drawn to a guy that was very verbally, emotionally, and mentally abusive to me. So then I start, you know, seeking out a counselor. I start dealing with my stuff. And I have an experience through over and over and over again of really having Jesus step into my stuff. So now then, at the end of that, I decide I need to do this for a living to help other people deal with their stuff. And so I get some letters after my name. And so now I'm in private practice. And, you know, I've been mentoring girls, I would say teenagers and 20-somethings through from the time I was 19. So even in the middle of all my stuff, I love Jesus. I want to walk alongside other women. So now I'm in my private practice, you know, and I'm now 49. So I'm giving you the fast version.
Yeah.
It's December of 09. I'm reading in Luke 1 about how God told Zechariah that his yet-to-be-born son, John, is going to help turn the hearts, not the heads, of fathers to their children. And I literally just heard God whisper to me, Michelle, that's what I want you to do. And I'm like, wow. What? Back to the disqualifying ourselves. I'm thinking, to be honest with you, I usually was intimidated when fathers would come into counseling sessions because they would say, okay, what's your goal? What's your game plan? How are you going to get there? What's wrong? Boom, boom, boom. And I'd be like, this doesn't quite work like that. This is a relationship. I'm building trust. You know, I don't have a 3-point outline and a timeline. And so I'm like, you want me to help turn the hearts of fathers? Oh my goodness. And 2 days later, after I got that download, I'm blow drying my hair, Jim. I hear the name, the ABBA Project. Abba meaning daddy in Aramaic, yes. And men love a project. Do I hear an amen?
Amen. Right? On that.
Like, tell me what to do to fix it. And so the next month, I have nothing, no curriculum. I just have this name from God. I wrote emails to 11 dads whose counseling clients at the time, their daughters, they were my clients in their teens and in their 20s. And I said, hey, dad, how would you like to join me? These are dads I don't know. I know their daughters. How would you like to join me once a month for 6 months to see if there's a change in you, your daughter, and your relationship? 10 of the 11 dads said, we're in. And I've had men say, you know, over and over, we're not really all that into adding more to our full plate, but because there was a felt need, these men came. My one holdout, by the way, came the second year. But I did this for 10 years. We ended up going a year, that first group. I had no curriculum, nothing. So I just, every month, God downloaded the topic, which is still the format today. That became really the outline for my first book. And so really, that's where my heart, if you want to call it that, my calling to men, to girl dads, that's where it started. And that's what I've been doing ever since, 14 years
something?
Now.
That is absolutely incredible. Now, I thought it was really interesting. You know, like I said, I read two of your books in the magazine articles. And in one of the books, right at the beginning, you mentioned, and I thought this was fascinating, especially for me as a girl dad, you said that men, you know, will say, yeah, the relationship's, you know, fine with my daughter. It's actually good. When you ask the girls, tears are streaming and it's not what they had hoped. And then you quoted a research that said 3/4 of men say their relationship with their daughters are good. And you said 3/4 of women, young women, say that their relationship is not as good and that they really miss, they're not connected with their dad. What's the disconnect there?
Well, I think part of it is that, you know, men are from Mars, women are from Venus. I mean, at the end of the day, the gender differences do show up in father-daughter relationships. And so the only way that a dad can know more of what's really going on in his daughter's mind and heart and life is he has to talk with her. He has to ask questions. So, you know, some of the key words there are close. In what you read in my book was that dads would say they're closer than their daughters would say. So the best way for a dad not to project his own thoughts as a guy onto his daughters to ask questions. That's why the second book, Let's Talk, Conversation Starters for Dads of Daughters, is I want to equip men to lead. I want dads to have resources right in front of them to pursue their daughter's heart with intention, with consistency, and not make assumptions. So dad, you just have to ask your daughter on a 0 to 10 scale, how close do you believe we are? I love quantifying things because you can say close is a relative term. Are we close? Yes, no. You don't get much data back, do you? That's not very clear. But if you ask it as a 0 to 10 question, dad, how close, 10 being the closest, 0 being the bottom, what number would you say represents how close?
It's a great question. And I'm laughing because I'm going to do this with my kids.
You're
and
doing,
I'm actually going to a comedy show at the Hollywood Bowl with my daughter and her husband and my wife tomorrow. And I'm actually trying to figure out how do I pull Heidi aside because I want to ask her that question. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I may not get the answer that I think I'm going to get because I think I've projected all these years. Hey, I've got a great relationship and, you know, we are close. And she may go, well, I wish I had more. So it's going to be interesting. I'll have to report back to you sometime how that goes.
I want to hear back, but I'm going to give you two more questions, dad, because you got to have more follow-up. Not one and done there. Is what number would you say represents us right now? Because she may say we're an 8. We're really good. Dad, follow it up with, are we as close as you'd like us to be? And number 3, what could I do to be a better dad to you to bump that up a number or a notch or two? You know, so it's kind of a threefold processing question that I love giving dads these templates. Because guess what? If your daughter looks at you and goes, that's really lame, dad. That's so stupid. Did you get that from some psychologist somewhere?
Right.
You know what? I want you to roll me under the bus.
Oh, totally.
Dr. Michelle gave me that dumb question.
I know. I'm totally going to roll you. I'll roll you under the bus. And it's funny. I did something with Heidi. She's our youngest. She's the one I was talking about for tomorrow. Yeah. And it was kind of a knee-to-knee ask question. She goes, dad, this is so lame. This was when she was probably in 10th grade, right?
Yeah.
And what was funny was we continued the process of having these little, we'd had little cards. It was just a cute little youth ministry type thing. You know what? It was really good. And yet she didn't realize I was actually, you know, I had an agenda in that. She just thought, you know, we were kind of having fun. You know, you used the word heart just a moment ago. And, you know, when, and this is something that you said, when dad's hearts are turned toward their daughters, she will believe she is worthy of being loved. I want you to unpack that for me.
Okay, so let's start with the beginning part of that is a heart turn for fathers is something that God commands. Most people know the last verse of the Old Testament, Malachi 4:6, where God says that he will turn the hearts. That's where that comes from. Of fathers to their children, notice it starts with the father and then it's a reciprocal response. Then it says the children to their fathers, or I will come and strike the land with a curse. Well, because my heart is for fathers of daughters, that's my lane. I say, Dad, we can look and see the impact of the curse on women who often have a dad void or a dad wound. You can pick out these girls in a lineup that aren't as confident because their dad hasn't poured life into them. And so at the end of the day, if you want to see your daughter internalize your view of her, that she's enough, that she's beautiful, that she's capable and talented and called by God for something specific and unique to her, you have to start with yourself and say, how is my heart doing in connecting with her heart? Which is different than a turned head. So a turned heart means more emotionally dialed in, more sensitive, more intuitive, and often more verbal. So those kinds of things matter.
You're using words that men sometimes don't do well, emotion. They're not as in touch with their emotions sometimes as a woman might be. And so what you're saying is dads have to get in touch with their emotions toward their daughter. You started to say this right after you were talking about this. I read in your book, daughters internalize their dad's view of them. What if somebody doesn't have that connection? What if a daughter doesn't have that connection? Kathy and I were in a small group for years. And I said to Kathy one time quietly, I said, I don't think any of these women have a good dad relationship. I think they have dad wounds that they haven't talked about. And these were adult women whose kids were at the same Christian school that our kids were at and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I felt like they had this void, and literally some of their dads had already passed away. Mm-hmm. What do you say to them?
I say, first of all, to those women, get in touch with your own voids and your deficits and your hurts, because sometimes we think, according to Philippians, forget what lies behind. Mm. Let's reach forward to what lies ahead. We cannot forget. It's part of our story. Like when you pick up a book and you don't start at chapter 30. You start at 1, 2, 3, because it all goes together. That's the foundation. So if you've grown up and you've got woundedness there from your dad, be honest about it. Start there by getting in touch. Give a voice to what's there. Journal it out. Talk it out with a friend or a mentor or a counselor. And after you've given voice to that, part of the releasing, letting go, forgiving process is you have to start by naming where you've been hurt, naming the injury, getting in touch with how it's then impacted you. And then the beautiful part is your story is still being written. One of my favorite verses is Psalm 18:24 in the Message Bible that says, God rewrote the text of my life when I opened the book of my heart to his eyes. So I would say to those of you daughters that say, I got a really yucky hand that was dealt to me from my father, maybe even grandfather, is go to scripture, make it personal, where God says, Psalm 139, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. In fact, just last night, I was looking at those verses in different translations, and they're awesome about saying, God formed me in the depths of the earth before I was ever put in my mom's womb. That means he's your dad. He's got your name written on the palms of his hands, as Isaiah says. He's got you tattooed on his hand. And the more you know that your heavenly father calls you his own, he's deeply in love with you. He's invested in you. God as a father begins to come in and heal those earthly father wounds.
That's incredible. You listeners, you just got preached to in a great way by Michelle. And also, I think we're getting some free counseling here as we're listening to this podcast. Great, great input. Like I said, I'm a girl dad. I have three amazing daughters. And, I came from a family with boys. So my mom, and I feel sorry for my mom, as I look back with us, what we boys did to that poor woman. She was the only woman in the house. Now, I move into a house, I marry Kathy. I learn a lot about women in those first few years of marriage. And then, we start making babies and they're all girls. And so I, had to learn to adjust. I'm pink tutus. I learned how to braid hair. I don't think I was ever very good. And now my girls are adult you know, women, and they would never let me braid their hair. They'd never let me touch their hair. But even, you know, runs to Walgreens to get tampons, you know, in certain hours. I mean, just crazy. But, you know, in my own life, that I became a girl dad, and I actually loved it. In fact, people would say, well, you probably wanted a boy. You know, you wanted a little leaguer, you wanted something. And I went, you know, actually, I love my daughters. And a lot of men say they could connect with a son easy, but they couldn't connect with a daughter, not just on a heart, but just even communication. What advice would you give to the man who says, hey, I'm struggling. I don't know how to braid hair, and I don't want to braid hair. I'm fine with my son. I'll take him to the games, and I'll let my wife handle the girl stuff. What do you say to that dad?
Oh, my goodness. That is an I love just picturing that dad sitting across from me. And I would say, first of all, don't believe the lie that you don't matter. Because at the end of the day, there is research that has confirmed that every area of your daughter's life will be better. She will thrive more by feeling connected to you. So is that a head word or a heart word? What would you say, Jim?
Oh, I think it's a heart word.
So it's not a surprise to us that the research confirms what the Word of God says, that a heart-connected relationship between a father and a child, and I'm going to say specifically a daughter and her dad matters. The research says your daughter will get better grades in school by feeling connected to you, more likely to finish high school and attend college, greater self-esteem, greater confidence, less depression, less anxiety, better athletic performance, more likely to hold steady employment, less body dissatisfaction, healthier weight. Dads, you're going to love this next one. She will delay her sexual debut. Do I hear? Woot, woot. Yeah. Come on. From a feeling of connection to you, decreases in teen pregnancy, more pro-social empathy. Do we need more of that? That's all because of dad. So first of all, dad, don't believe the lie that you are less important in your daughter's life than to your son, because that isn't true biblically. It's not true in the research. Number two, dad, back to this idea of the more your daughter knows, not just what you think, but what you think of her, where you are giving her messages that she has value and worth, that's how she will carry herself out in the world. And another thing I love to say to dads, if you want your daughter to use her voice out in the world, you have to let her use it at home, which means she's going to develop muscles by pushing back on you, disagreeing, saying no. So you don't just want a little robot that you're going to send out in the world, wind up and let her go. Dad, in relationship with you, when you don't like what she's telling you, get underneath it. Tell me what about that is important to you.
So
tell me
good.
Where you came up with that decision. Try to let her use her voice with you, because she will stand out in the world and be a voice to make a difference the more she practices with you, really internalizing your view of her and using her voice at home.
That is so good. Listen, you've given us great scripture, so I'm calling you a preacher. You've given us great counsel, and that was coaching. And guys need coaching. That's great, great insight. I'm thinking of the loads of people right now who are listening to this saying, wow, I want to pass this on to, you know, somebody else, just because that is so good. We're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back. We're talking with Michelle Watson Canfield. We're talking about why girl dads matter. She's the author of Let's Talk, Conversation Starters for Dads and Daughters. I read it last night, and as well as a really great book called Dad, Here Is What I Really Need From You, A Guide to a Daughter's Heart. And again, great book, great insight. Dads, put some time and energy into this. And again, if you want to know more about Michelle's amazing work, all of the ways to hear about her is in our show notes. And if you are a dad and you know a girl dad, then I highly recommend All Things with Michelle. I mean, really, as you can tell, incredible stuff. When we come back, I want to talk about how to keep a daughter from looking for love in all the wrong places, as well as how conversations can change the trajectory of your daughter's life and of your life, too. So we'll be right back. Don't go away. More to come.
Hey, this is Paige Klingenfeel, host of Embracing Your Season, presented by Homeward. At Homeward, we believe in strong marriages, confident parents, empowered kids, and healthy leaders. Our mission is helping families succeed. God has empowered us to assist parents in a relevant, practical way by deepening their understanding of changing times. Let us help you strengthen your marriage, your parenting skills, and your personal walk with Christ. Homeward is the number one provider of parenting seminars in America, and we would love to visit your church to help parents and couples in your ministry. If you'd like to learn more, please visit our website at homeward.com. That's homeward.com. That's also where you can sign up for the monthly newsletter to help refresh your marriage or to receive a daily devotional with encouragement and inspiration. Homeward, helping families succeed. Visit us at homeward.com. And be sure to also check out my podcast, Embracing Your Season, with new episodes releasing every Tuesday on your favorite podcast platform.
Welcome back. Michelle Watson Canfield is with us. We're talking about why girl dads matter. You know, Michelle, I was talking with a dad this weekend. Kathy and I were doing a marriage conference in Northern California at Mount Hermon. It's a great conference center. And what was interesting about this dad was he said, easy for him. He has two daughters and one son, and they're now young adults. The young son, he said, pretty easy. He went through college. He graduated, got married kind of young, is in youth ministry, didn't get much trouble. The girls, this is where his heart was breaking as he was talking to me, because he said the girls, they went to the same church. They went to the same youth group. They were active in youth group. And as they got older, they strayed. And what was interesting is he used the word, they were looking for love in all the wrong places. And he said, and I was in my mind, he's one of those dads maybe, but he said, you know, I think I did a good job with them. I mean, I was there, I was present. But he said, so they both strayed from faith. They've both, you know, strayed from the values that we taught them. And he was just brokenhearted about it. He was blaming himself. What do you say to that, Dad?
You know, the consistent theme you're going to hear in everything I write, say, and really believe is that, Dad, it comes down to listening more than you talk. You have two ears for a purpose, one mouth, right? For a reason. Listen twice as much as you talk. And it's never too late for you to open up this conversation with your daughters. I understand this is heartbreaking. In fact, God is a father. You're sharing with him in that heartbreak. And yet, because you're the one to begin the initiation of the talk, Dad, sit down one-on-one with your daughter. In fact, and let's talk. I've got questions on different themes, 60 themes of topics. If you don't know what to say, you can open the book, because I've got themes that are about these kind of topics that you can say to her. Tell me, even be willing to have her say things that you did that hurt her or shaped her, but asking her questions of, tell me what you don't like about the church, or what you don't like about what you were taught or don't like. The more you listen to what she says without defensiveness, you're modeling God as a father. In fact, one of my favorite verses in the Bible is Luke 15:20, where it's the prodigal son story. When you have a daughter or a son who's away from the Lord, Jesus, this is all red letters saying, this is what my dad is like. Five things that you can do as a proactive dad. It says the dad, first of all, was standing there looking. Okay. Number two, filled with compassion. So the dad, you're turned toward your daughter who's away. You are filled with compassion that you hurt over the way she's been hurt, because most likely there's things she's never told you. These are the things I hear, even I have this week in my counseling office, a 21-year-old daughter telling me stories of back when dad was a pastor that happened in the church. Parents don't always know of things that have negatively shaped them and hurt them. Number three, so one, right? Standing there looking toward, filled with compassion. Number three, you run toward them. Then number three, embrace. Number five, kiss. Like you're that close that you're willing to kiss their wounds, hold their hurts without preaching at them. She's probably had enough to last her a lifetime. Become an expert at listening to her heart hurts. That's how your daughter will heal and see that you're a safe witness to her pain. In fact, I once had a friend of mine say that a key question for a dad to ask is, tell me how I hurt you when, dot, dot, dot. It could be when I divorced your mom, when I took you to that church, the way I disciplined you when you were little, the boundaries I set. And when you come with a heart like that, that's humble, open, vulnerable, and asking her more questions than anything you ever say, you will watch your daughter's heart turn back toward you. And I believe ultimately back toward God as her heavenly father.
It's a great answer and a great comment. Sometimes dads tell me with their daughters, and they'll say this with their sons too, but they'll say, you know what, I'm trying to connect, but there's resistance. What do you say to the dad who says, "Hey, I'm trying. I'm asking the right questions. I've got your book. I'm saying the questions. My daughters are saying, not now, Dad." What do you say?
That's more often than not. Like even when I just told you about a daughter this week, she's not ready to talk with her dad yet. I get that a lot. Like we call that a reluctant daughter is, again, a model from God. What does God do as a father? Does he go, "You're going to talk to me whether you like it or not"? I got, you know, my book is called My Word. I got lots of things to say. Yeah. And he doesn't clobber us. He's there waiting, pursuing, open-hearted. So I say, "Dad, you have to sometimes get a little more creative. It may be zipping it if your daughter doesn't want to have that conversation, and she'll feel more safe if she doesn't say, 'My dad's going to corner me because he has a lecture for me.'" It's waiting, pacing with her. It's being willing to do other things that are her favorite things to do, where you don't then clobber her with the gospel, so to speak. You come with your presence without, you know, letting her know you're the hound, you know, to hound her. It's doing what she wants to do in her pace and her time. And sometimes if your daughter has really closed the door, which I've had a lot of dads in that place that have been in the ABBA project, it's writing notes. Sometimes it's finding another portal to get through. It might be texting to validate, "How can I pray for you?" It might not even bring it up prayer, but, "Hey, what are you up to this week? I just want to know." Another thing I love to tell dads is the mirrors for daughters, for women, are brutal. We look in the mirror and see every negative message that you could imagine when we look in the mirror. You're fat, you're ugly, you're this, you're that. So I say, "Dad, if your daughter is still at home, find creative ways. Get a dry erase marker, a pack of sticky notes, and write a message today on your daughter's mirror. Just, 'I'm proud of you. I believe in you. I'm so glad to be your dad.'" Like, begin, you know, the love bank is kind of a 5-to-1 ratio, 5 deposits to 1 withdrawal. Find more ways to breathe life into her with affirming messages. And I had a dad once say, you know, one of my oldest daughters in college and I travel for work. So he goes, "I got an away game too." He pulled out from his back pocket the dry erase marker I had just given out at a conference, a men's conference. And he said, "I now write on the mirror in the hotel, take a screenshot, and send it to her in real time."
Awesome.
So my dad, you're helping other dads, you know, come up with ways to reach your daughter.
You know, it's interesting. As I mentioned, last night is when I read, you know, your book, Let's Talk, you know, Conversation Starters for Dads and Daughters. Really, it's not what they say. It's the question they ask so that they can listen. You talked about listening, and it's a language of love. So what you're really trying to do is interact, but stay away from preaching, stay away from lecturing, and actually just listen to the answers. You're not always going to get the answer you want. But that's what I hear you saying, that you're leaning into listening, even though your book is called Conversations. You're really trying to just start something where you can hear from your daughter more than probably you talk.
You know, I'm so glad you highlighted that, because there's actually an art to listening well. None of us just right innately are great at that. So what I have found, could I give dads listening, in fact, this is applicable to women too, a really practical way. It's something I made up years ago. I don't even know how I got the download from God for this, but there's actually an art to asking good questions. How about if I teach dads how to listen better? Because they're going to have a skill set in their pocket, I'll call it their fathering toolbox, that will actually help them be more strategic and successful in how they ask questions. What do you think?
Yep, I want to hear it. Let's go for it.
Okay, here you go. Do y'all remember back in school that we learned who, what, when, where, why, how? Everybody learned that somewhere. I don't even know what that's called. Back in school, I say, "Dad, the least effective question is why. Why'd you do that? What?" It's a looping question. "I don't know." You don't really get too far. So use that one least.
Right.
But you can ask the same who, what, when, where, how question by listening to what your daughter just said. Listen for the key word in her sentence. Or if she talks for a long time and you go, "Oh my goodness, I don't even know where to start." Last word she said, or last couple of words. So for example, you pick up your daughter from school. She's seventh grade. You go, "Hey, honey, how was school today?" And what does she say? One word.
Fine.
And you go, "Great." You go home and your wife goes, "How was her day?" You go, "It was fine." That is a non-answer answer on Venus. That's her throwaway. Yeah. Men say, "If you wanted to tell me more, you would have told me more." We say, "Oh, no, 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 no." To us, if you want to know more, you would have asked more. Oh, my goodness. We miss each other. So, Dad, you don't have to work as hard. Sometimes you're like, "What do I ask next? What was the key word? She only gave you one. What about your day was fine?" "Well, actually, choir was like the best part of the day. Tell me about choir. You could even kind of do a variation on the theme. Tell me more. But you could say, what happened in choir? Well, you know that guy that I really like, his name's Austin, like today looked at me and everybody, I was dying because everybody was looking at me and I was so embarrassed and my face turned red. And you're like, oh my goodness, I don't even know what to say. That was so many words. And so you could go, what was a key word? What we say, Jim, what was a key word in that sentence? Maybe the guy's name.
Yeah.
Everybody are embarrassed. Yeah. What was embarrassing? How did it come about that you were embarrassed? What happened when you were embarrassed? But she said, let's say she said a guy's name, always a keyword in a sentence. Say she goes, you know that guy Austin? I like, who's Austin? What's Austin like? What do your friends say about Austin? What did Austin do? Your daughter will, one, know you listened and heard her. Two, you didn't have to go, so how was lunch today? And you go off on a tangent. You're just listening. You ask her a who, what, when, where, how question about what she just said. Number three, we as girls figure things out by talking. So what a better way to bond than listening and asking a follow-up question. So what do you think? You think that's like practical enough for dads to be able to put it into action?
No, I mean, it's so good. You know, I said on the podcast before that one of my mentors, his name is Neil Clark Warren, said, communication is a learned trait. And what you're doing is you're teaching us how to communicate. We don't know how to do that. That doesn't come natural. Mm-hmm. And yet the little process that you just took us through could really change the way we communicate with our daughters and, frankly, our sons and our spouses and, you know, people at work and everything else. Really, really good. Listen, I can't believe that our time is up, but it has gone by so fast. I could listen to you all day and get insight. Michelle, thank you so much for being on the podcast. So much.
Such a joy to join you. Thank you so much for the invitation.
Everything we've talked about, but also all of the ways to get the books, to learn more about Michelle is on our podcast sheet. Anyway, wonderful conversation today. Wonderful, wonderful. And before I go, let me just simply give you three quick points. This is coming from a dad who loves his daughters like crazy, who has not done it perfect. But here's just some thoughts, random thoughts. And I think they kind of come from what Michelle, this is kind of on top of what she's been saying and coincides perfectly. First of all, tell your girls that you love them and that you're proud of them as often as you can. Okay. And if you're in the home, then say it all the time. They'll roll their eyes, mush, but and they'll take it differently. Each girl will take it differently, but tell them that. They need to hear that from you. You know, the last words that my mom said to me, she was a boy mom, but same thing goes. She said, Jimmy, I love you and I'm proud of you. I mean, she had stuff in her nose from, tubes, and she was on heavy medication, but she looked at me, and then I went away and I spoke and I came back, and she had passed away when I was speaking in Colorado. And you know what? I live with that still, that blessing. So dads, bless your daughters, bless your sons too, but bless your daughters by saying, I love you and I'm proud of you. Heidi didn't like me to say that. She's my youngest. And so she just kind of, you know, would say, Dad. And so I would just go, Heidi, mush. But I told her that mush meant, you know, I love you and I'm proud of you. Becca was a little easier on that and Christy was easier on that. But, you know, find a way to express your love. Then secondly is be a role model of love and commitment if you're married to your wife, okay? If you're not married, then still be a role model of living a life of integrity with love and commitment. I think one of the most important things I can do is show my daughters that I love Kathy. And so, you know, non-negotiable date nights, you know, them seeing how a man should treat his wife is key, dads. And you know, we have to buck that up a little bit because I think sometimes, especially during the years when the kids are maybe teens or whatever, or even when they're younger, but we put all of our energy into the kids and we have a kid-focused marriage, frankly, and that's not going to help. So I think that's, you know, what you do. And then thirdly is be your daughter's greatest cheerleader. Honestly, you can do this, okay? You know, they don't need as much lecture as you probably want to give them lecture, but her heart will be touched by your affirmation and your attention and even your affection. And so by giving them that affection, you know, I see a lot of kids. I was a youth pastor at one time, and I would see kids who were sexually promiscuous. They craved false affection because they weren't getting the kind of affection from their dads. And so be that affectionate, affirming, you know, person who is their greatest cheerleader. There's a sign up in my office that says every child needs at least one adult who is irrationally positive about them. And I think dads can be irrationally positive about their daughters. I understand you got to do discipline. There's certain things you got to talk about. But be that person who overwhelmingly is irrationally positive about your daughter. I think it will change their life forever. So anyway, thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. I want to thank Michelle for being on this podcast. I also want to thank Mike Segovia, our expert pickleball player, as well as producer, and Elijah Hamilton, who has a daughter coming in like one, two, three, just a couple of months here. And so he's listening in as a dad-to-be of a daughter. And he's here in the studio. And then those three daughters of mine, Christy, Rebecca, and Heidi. What a privilege to be their dad. Oh, gosh, I just got kind of teary-eyed. But the deep joy that I found in life, what is wrong with me? Those of you on the YouTube channel can kind of see my eyes turning red. But to be their dad. And, you know, Abba in Aramaic does mean daddy. And my girls kind of called me daddy for a while, and sometimes they slip. But you know what? Be their daddy. And just like our God is a loving father, and little kids today would call their dads in that language, Abba, and be that kind of dad, whether you have older kids or whether you have younger kids. So again, thanks for listening to Homeward. Thanks for our YouTube watchers. I'm Jim Burns, and you've been listening to Homeward with Jim Burns, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us for this edition of Homeward with Jim Burns. Be sure to check out Jim's latest books, courses, and blogs at homeward.com. While you're there, you can book Jim for your next speaking event. Just click on the Seminar Request tab and fill out the information. Take some time to scroll around and see all of the resources we have available for you to help your family succeed. Once again, all of this can be found at homeward.com. Also, be sure to follow Jim and Homeward on all their social media pages, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks again for joining us. Be sure to tune in next week for another edition of Homeward with Jim Burns. Homeward with Jim Burns, helping families succeed.